the AM 580 News Podcast for Tuesday, August 22nd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Tom Rogers will talk with a professor of urban planning at the University of Illinois on his views regarding the efforts to restore New Orleans to its pre-Hurricane Katrina appearance. But first, today's news. Negotiators for the Danville School District and their teachers' union reached a tentative agreement last night on a new contract. District 118's Associate Superintendent Mark Denman says the agreement came last night after 6 hours of bargaining. He says both sides were encouraged by progress made during a 17-hour negotiating session last week.
We think that the marathon session that we had last week, a lot of progress was made that sort of set the momentum for tonight and started out very positive this evening, and we quickly moved into tightening up the details and bringing the agreement to be.
Denman says the Danville Education Association will vote on ratifying the new agreement at a meeting tomorrow at the Danville High School Auditorium. The District 118 School Board is expected to vote on the contract at its meeting, which starts at 5:30 tomorrow at the Jackson Building. Meanwhile, a strike is now an option for teachers at Rantoul Township High School, with talks at an impasse. Members of the Illinois Education Association approved giving the district an intent to strike notice Monday morning. Union spokesman Gene Vanderport says it'll be delivered to the district today, the first scheduled day of school. He says that doesn't mean a strike is imminent, even though his side is displeased with the progress of contract negotiations.
There's a 10-day waiting period under the law before any work stoppage would occur, but it's not our goal to hit the bricks. We just want to get a little bit of movement out of the board, and we can wrap this up.
Vanderport hopes talks can resume before September 18th, which is the next scheduled meeting date with a federal mediator, but he claims the school board has not moved on salaries and other issues. District officials are not commenting on the negotiations. A second utility serving Illinois has struck a deal to drastically reduce mercury emissions from its coal-fired plants. Dynegy agreed yesterday to go beyond federal regulations and cut mercury emissions 90% by 2015. Federal rules would require a 70% reduction by 2018. Dynegy also agreed to cut smokestack exhaust, a source of smog and soot at its 5 Illinois coal plants. Utility spokesman David Byford says Dynegy is committed to improving the environment while maintaining a reliable supply of electricity. The deal is similar to the one the Blagojevich administration brokered with Ameren earlier this month, and officials hope a third large utility, Midwest Generation, will make a similar pledge. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich says his opponent's new education plan lacks detail. The Republican gubernatorial candidate, Illinois State Treasurer Judy Barr Topinka, unveiled an $8 billion proposal for the next 4 years. Blagojevich says he wants to hear more.
A lot of it looks very familiar. A lot of it looks like a lot of the stuff that we've been doing, things that we're for. But what's lacking is what she likes to say all the time, and that is, how do you pay for these things?
Topinka's plan calls on the state to spend an additional $1,000 on each student. Meanwhile, Topinka says she's taken her time to develop an education funding plan that will pump more money into schools and teacher pensions. Topinka says she'll reveal how the $8 billion proposal would be funded in the next week to 10 days. Topinka says she wants to negotiate a funding formula for schools that has the backing of lawmakers as well as educators.
People oftentimes talk about that tax swap, where you go from property tax basically to income tax. But there's no support for that in the legislature. Now, we're willing to sit down, talk to all these groups again and say, okay, folks, let's start from scratch. If you're not going to pass anything like that, what would you pass to make this happen? How can we provide relief for our property tax people?
Topinka also wants to set aside $3 billion for school construction and to develop a vocational program for those who don't go on to college. She also plans to soon unveil a proposal for funding higher education in the state. Topinka campaigned with others on the state's GOP ticket in Tuscola on Monday. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. The one-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina is approaching, and yet the planning to bring New Orleans back from the devastation is still in the formative stages. But a University of Illinois professor of urban planning believes after months of problems, the planning effort is finally on solid ground. He spoke with AM 580's Tom Rogers.
Rob Olshansky says the deck was stacked against New Orleans' comeback even before Katrina. The city never had an intensive ongoing planning force, and an unprecedented disaster made that problem stand out.
They've sort of done planning on kind of a project-by-project basis. They get, you know, they'll plan some exciting new project, a Superdome, a convention center, aquariums, things like that for the waterfront, for a tourist business. But in terms of kind of broad-based citizen-engaged planning, New Orleans is not a city that's done that. And that's exactly the kind of thing that's needed after a disaster. And if you don't have those institutions in place, you have to invent those things under the pressures of people being displaced, of people trying to rebuild their own lives, of more than half the population being dispersed to other places. And so this has been very difficult, and this is they've been trying to invent planning processes and planning institutions in the face of all this.
Plus, I guess you would have a lot of people who have come in from the outside feeling with good intentions, but maybe not knowing New Orleans very much or trying things that have worked elsewhere that might not have worked in New Orleans.
Yes, that's true. You know, everybody, after a disaster, often people tend to think that there is a blank slate. And, you know, one might view New Orleans certainly last September as a blank slate because there was nobody there. But there is no blank slate. Any city, even after a disaster, the city still exists in the minds of the residents. The relationships still exist. Their attitudes about things are still there. People's property rights are still there. And so all of the things that made New Orleans, even though it appears that a lot of the city is gone, is still very much in play.
That's why Olshansky says a single direction was critical for planning the city's recovery, and he believes the Unified New Orleans Plan unveiled last month is a breakthrough in a city with long simmering distrust.
There are serious racial divisions in New Orleans. There's serious tension between New Orleans and the power structure in Baton Rouge. And given what's happened to the city and their desire to rebuild it, and everybody hovering around and wanting to be, each party wanting to be the one in charge of rebuilding it, has continued to fuel a lot of those resentments. And I think they've all warily agreed that, or seen that, in order to get the kind of assistance they need from the federal government and in order to look attractive for outside investors to have faith in the future of New Orleans, that they need to try very hard to work together. But for some of these people, working together is distasteful, and so that's going to continue to be a problem.
Olshansky says an important aspect of the plan is that no one government body will become the dominant member, but there's still the potential to plan over the heads of residents and their neighborhoods without their input. Olshansky, though, thinks that can be avoided.
It's not easy, and it's not easy to do in the short period of time that they need to be able to plan. I think most residents, they're not stupid. I mean, they can understand the trade-offs that they have in front of them if those trade-offs are presented to them. And, I think the fact that New Orleans is probably going to be smaller, there are some parts of each neighborhood that might not be suitable for rebuilding, and there might be some tough decisions to think about how to not to take people's property rights, but how to move some people's property voluntarily. How they might be able to see how they could get together and voluntarily rearrange where they live so that the end result will be better. I think a lot of neighborhoods, given the information and given the opportunity to sit down and think about some of the possibilities for their future, can come to some very very interesting and very promising and very forward-looking kind of decisions.
Rob Olshansky believes that the influx of experts with deep New Orleans roots will only help streamline what's been to now a fitful long-term recovery process. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Forecast for today calls for mostly sunny skies, the high of 83 with light winds. Clear skies this evening, the low of 59 degrees. And mostly sunny skies tomorrow, the high 85, winds light and variable. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for August. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 22nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.